I'd like you to turn while you're standing to Matthew chapter 28, the verses we read this morning in our services, beginning with verse 18. It's called the Great Commission. I will only be brief in to lead us to a closing point of prayer, but I would like us to meditate for a few moments on God's Word in this central guiding passage for everything this day and everything our church life is all about. Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. He had risen from the dead. He had yet to ascend to heaven. It was one of his repeated encounters with them in those 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended to heaven. And so Jesus came to them. And he said, all authority, with the cross behind him, with the resurrection, with the defeat of Satan behind him, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I don't know if CNN believes that. I don't know if Fox News believes that. I don't know if the presidents and kings of most nations believe that. But folks, the devil believes that, and we believe that, and it is true. All authority has been given in heaven and earth to Jesus. And he is the one who's personally going to put the period on human history. So what on earth would he tell us to do in light of that? Therefore, because of that, what? Say it again. Go. Because of that, go. And make disciples. Disciples are followers. Make disciples of all nations, or literally of every grouping of cultural and language clusters of people. Every people group. Go. And make followers of every people group. Followers of me out of them. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which identifies them publicly with Christ. And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, which helps them follow Christ. And surely, then comes the promise. If you will go in obedience to me, who is going to wrap up human history and has all authority, surely I am with you. And I love he doesn't even say, I will be with you. He said, I am with you always. Every step in the go, I am there with you always to the very end of the age. Father, help us as we just meditate and land on these verses for a few moments tonight and then present ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Therefore, go. And make disciples. Jesus only left us with one job, and that's to go. The great missionary pastor, J. Oswald Smith from the People's Church in Toronto, he said, God left us with one thing to do, and for the last 2,000 years, the church has largely been doing everything but the one thing Jesus asked us to do. That hurts, but it's probably true. The one thing he told us to do was go and make followers of Jesus of every nation and people group around the world. I want you to notice that therefore missions is not in some kind of popularity contest competing with all of the other wonderful ministries of the church. Sometimes we think missions is, well, we're going to have our mission Sundays, and once in a while we have a missions emphasis, and it may not be. Some of us may think it's more glamorous than other ministries, or it's not as glamorous as other ministries. But what I want to tell you, missions is not one of many ministries. Missions is our ministry. It is our job. He gave us one thing to do, and that's go. And there's many valid ministries, but they're not valid unless they are a part of baptizing and teaching and then sending so that more and more people can go. Missions is the heart of it. Missions is not in a popularity contest. I know people say, I have mission service. I don't know. I probably don't have to go to that one. My pastor's not speaking. Listen, missions is not a popularity contest. Missions is the heart of what Jesus, the one thing Jesus asks us to do. And also, missions is not a, if we have some left over enterprise. Missions is not... It's not, well, after we've had our needs met and paid our bills, there's a little extra in the budget, or we think we could stretch people a little bit more financially and guilt them into giving a little more, then maybe we can add some missionaries to all the money we spend on ourselves first. You know what he says? He says, I will be with you. If you go, you are going to have my presence, my provision, my heart, my anointing, and my grace upon you. You know what? Churches all over America are either plateaued or they're declining. And you know why? We have lost our passion to reach the lost in America. And you know what? God lifts his spirit off us when we're not doing what's close to his heart. But I want to tell you, when Jesus calls you, and when you obey the heart of his heart, which is to go and to be involved in the great enterprise of helping people meet Jesus and being baptized and then helping them grow in a local church like here at Central Assembly, so that then we can send people around the world with our finances. There's no scarcity mentality in missions. If Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm with you when the stock market's melting down. I'm with you when the credit markets are freezing up. I'm with you in depressions. I'm with you in periods of prosperity. He said, I am with you. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who's not stingy and he's not poor. He says, I'll be with you if you will do the one thing I've told you to do. This is not just in case there's a little left over after everything else, then we can get around to missions. Missions is not a popularity contest, and missions is not a little extra add-on to the church so that we can use a little bit of our extra money and our extra personnel. Missions is at the heart of it. If we want God with us, we need to be doing the thing that is at the heart of God's heart, and that's to reach the world. We have, for our year of missions, three great goals I'm excited about. We're going to put them on the screen just briefly. First goal is to tithe our building fund, which we call Give Forward. And as of this month, we just had our annual Give Forward celebration two Sunday nights ago. And everything that's come in as from this month on to our building fund, we're going to tithe. We're going to give 10% of it to our missions fund here at the church. And, yeah, could we use all 100% of our building fund? Believe me, we could use even more than 100% of what's going to come in for Give Forward. But I want to tell you, we just want to bless and give away. And because this is our year of missions coming up, because this is not a matter of if we have some extra, then we'll give it. This is at the heart of Jesus' priority. We're going to give even into our need. And in the face of our need, we're going to give away to missions and to helping people go around the world. And so I'm excited about that. Thank you for the many of you who have already begun to commit to give forward. And our goal is $500,000 over the next 12 months to our building fund. And we'd like to give $50,000 of that at least to missions. Secondly, we'd not only like to tithe our building fund, give forward financial income, but we'd like to tithe our people. And say we have roughly 2,500 young people and adults that call Central Assembly their church home. We'd like to see 250 of us. We'd like to tithe our adult population to take a short-term missions trip somewhere around the world this next year. I'm going to be overseas, I think, three times next year. And I'm just challenging all of you to go once. And I'll tell you, David, thank you for talking about short-term missions. John Schultz, thank you for that. Wasn't that moving to see that whole building and people in that building by the end of that week and hearing that song? You know, it's worth it. And it's worth it for the sake of what a little help for a week can do to advance ministry and missions. And it doesn't all have to be building programs. We can take prayer teams just to do prayer walks and prayer crusades. There's many, many ways for both men and women to help build, to do prayer things, to evangelize. It's as creative as you want to go. Someone emailed me a week before last and said, you know what? We've had a heart for Italy for many years, and we're going to be in Italy actually for an anniversary trip that my wife and I have planned for a long time. And is there a way we could extend that for a few days and do something for the Lord while we're in Italy? We want to be two of your 250 that go over and do a missions trip. So I'm in the process of trying to figure out what they might be able to do in Italy, because this is what we want to do, I tell you. And we can make a difference, and it is worth it to go. And I want, you know, I don't have to preach to you about how much it can impact you, and especially We'd like people of all ages. I know retired people sometimes can go easier because they don't have jobs, they have to leave, but we'd like to be challenging our teenagers to go, and our 20-year-olds, and our 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, across the gamut of what Central Assembly is, we'd like to go. And if you are not able to take this trip, you're a part of the 90% that don't go, I'd like to encourage you to help send others. We're going to be developing a structure so that you can donate frequent flyer miles, to help other people go. And you'll be receiving fundraising letters from people, or we'll be just saying, well, another team's going, if you want to designate to that team. Maybe a friend of you, maybe you know somebody in the church. You say, a missions trip. Maybe you know a 25-year-old in our church or a 45-year-old, and you say, a missions trip would be the best thing in their lives. If they could get infected with the world, not just Springfield in America, but the world, I'm willing to help them go. And that might mean $10 or $1,000, but you could just help get somebody else there if you can't go yourself. This is a part of what we're going to try to do this next year. And then our third goal is to build these five Bible schools we've been talking about. And today, our first Bible school project we heard about this morning, Carol Deal is like an apostle in Equatorial Guinea. Can you imagine? He sat over lunch with us today and told us the story of how God confirmed they ought to be there. He said, we were preaching in a little church in southern Missouri. And during the service, or probably after, somewhere around their preaching or after, and they were praying and waiting on God, and there was a message in tongues, an interpretation given. He said it was just a little church. This lady gave the interpretation, and he said it was not like any message in tongues and interpretation I've ever heard in my life in a congregation. This interpretation was to us, and it was said, I'm sending you to Equatorial Guinea, and when you go, look for a man by the name of John, who has a long, narrow jaw, and he will help you. That was the interpretation of a message in tongues in a Sunday morning service. Can you believe that? He said, we didn't know what to think of that. And so a few weeks later, they were up in the St. Louis area and in a very small church, he said. And after the service, this lady comes up to me and says, Pastor, an elder lady, says, Pastor, or Mr. Missionary, said, we were praying for this service. And the Lord told us that you're to go to Equatorial Guinea and reach a man by the name of John. Except, she said, and this is very, very important. His name is not spelled J-O-H-N. His name is spelled J-O-N. It's not like the normal John we know. And you're to look for him, and God's going to help you reach him. And so they thought, wow, we've heard that twice now. I wonder who this guy is. Never heard another thing about John until they arrived in Equatorial Guinea. He said, we had no house, we have nowhere. It's a very primitive country. I mean, they went for years without air conditioning and basically a tropical rainforest he wasn't probably kidding when he said he lost a lot of weight the first year when he was there. I mean, they're heroes and no church, nothing. And he said, we just camped out in a hotel in the capital city. And he said, I was down in the lobby of the hotel or however it happened. He said, we met this guy, and his name was John, J-O-N. And he had a long, kind of narrow jaw. And he happened, I think, to work for the UN. And he took, God gave us favor in his eyes. And he on his flights to the mainland, he was able to get us food. And he helped us find a place to live. And he knew the area well. He helped us get through the red tape. And he was God's confirmation to us that we were supposed to be here. Listen, God sends real people to real places because he said, go. And he said, if you go, I will be with you. And of course, now, 100 churches, he's like apostolic in the ministry God's given him there. That's the story that Jesus is writing around the world. That's the enterprise. That's the job we're all involved with. Hallelujah. And J. Oswald Smith says, you either go or you send someone in your place. There's no other alternatives. That's why we love to give financially. I say love to give financially to missions. That's why we go as well. And thank God for that. That's what our year ahead is about. That's what this day has been all about. That's what Central Assembly is all about. Will you stand with me, please? I can invite Catherine to come back, if she could, to the piano. And I'd like to end this way. I feel like at the end of this wonderful day we've had, I'd like to invite you just to come and stand with me at this altar tonight. just to come and stand together, stand in front of the altar rails and behind so we can get as many that want to come to come. And by standing here, you just say, Lord, I present myself. I'm willing to be a part of your mission. I'm willing to say one more time, yes, to your call. Maybe God's really calling you into missions. And today, you're just saying, maybe for the first time in your life, yes. Some of you have been career missionaries. But I want to tell you, I don't read about retirement. Somehow our hearts, even if it's just praying, our hearts are still involved until the day we die in reaching our world. And you want to say for the thousandth time, yes, Lord, I'll go. And I'd just like to pray with you up here. I'd like to just have us stand beside each other and lay hands on each other's shoulders and just pray that God will just fill us with the Holy Spirit tonight. I guess we don't have a piano player. We don't need one. You just come on up, and we're just going to stand up here, and we're going to pray together that God's grace and God's Spirit and God's life will be here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.